Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's our good friend, has been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. Coming up on next, in about 3 weeks, 11-year anniversary. Joan Pride, welcome back.
I can't believe it.
Can you believe that? 11 years?
No. Wow.
Well, you know, it's when you find something that works, you know, we stick with it, don't you?
Right.
our anniversary is longer than my anniversary with my wife. How about
that? That's funny.
And almost as long as your husband, right?
That's right.
Hey, Joan, a lot of things going on in the Capitol, right there where
right.
you are, in our nation's capital, inside the Beltway, the wacky world of Washington. And that's you thought WWW meant World Wide Web, didn't you, folks? It means the wacky world of Washington.
Right.
One of the big things happening right now is this race, literally a race to get a health care bill passed.
Right.
And by golly, it looks like they're going to get it done, doesn't it?
Well, they had a breakthrough. You know, in the Senate, you need 60 votes to do anything.
Yep.
To avoid a filibuster, and the Democrats were trying to come together. There are 60 of them, but they were trying to come together around a health care plan, and apparently now they have. They think they have the 60 votes, so it really doesn't matter what the Republicans do if they all stick together.
Right. Yeah, the Republicans, to stop anything, you need 40+1.
Right.
And the Democrats have 60 votes if they include, was it two independents?
It's at least one. It might be two.
Well, it's one. I was thinking there may be two, but anyway.
Lieberman and Sanders?
Sanders from Vermont's an independent, because he's an avowed socialist. But still,
he always votes. He's not going to vote with the Republicans.
He caucuses with the Democrats,
yeah.
Right? No socialist is going to vote Republican, no question. So anyway, but Lieberman, who's not a socialist, is just an independent thinker. And by the way, he's one of my heroes. I like Joe Lieberman, and I liked him when he was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I think he's a quality guy. Anyway. So they got those. We think they've got that. They obviously got the 60 votes to get it out of committee a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And now, see, this is the part I'm confused about, Joan. Why do they need? I thought once they got it out of committee.
Well, you don't need 60 votes to get it out of committee.
Well, I didn't mean 60 votes, but they had to have 60 votes to get it to the floor to end.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
To get
they
to the floor.
They had 60 votes to start debate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why they need 60 votes. Now, you're right, because they started the debate, but maybe there are other procedural roadblocks.
There are, because they definitely need 60 votes. And,
yeah.
And so the haggling has been over what's in the bill. Does it have
the public option.
Public option, but also the abortion thing.
Yes.
How much of this is going to include federal funding for abortion, which is a problem that a lot of Democrats have?
Yeah, that's a question.
Yeah, so the real fight for this bill among the majority has been inside the Democrat Party, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, there's trouble on both sides, but in order to get it passed, they're just focusing on the Democrats.
Well, my point is, they know what the Republicans are going to do.
Right.
You know, they know they're not going to sway them. They're where they're going to be. They're going to be intractable on this thing, except
right.
for maybe Olympia Snow out of Maine. But the real issue has been with Senator Nelson, Senator Lieberman, and a few others, hasn't it?
Right.
And who are Democrats?
Yep.
One of the things that I want to thank you, Joan. I as you know, I've admired Kiplinger for decades. But of course, the reason why you and I do this show every week is because I admire your work so much. But I really want to put emphasis on that admiration today, because of the reporting that you're doing on what this bill is going to mean for small employers or small businesses. I don't care about the big guys. They can take care of themselves. They got the money to take care of themselves. I'm worried about the little guys like me and other small business owners. And you guys point out, and I love the way you say this, we're going to face the mother of all migraines. Not only is it a catchy, pithy phrase, but it's an alliteration at its best. Tell us what you mean.
Well, first of all, let me set the stage. People might be asking, well, how can we be telling you what all the unintended consequences are if we don't have a final bill yet? Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty easy to look at the two, that the bill passed the House and the bill that's likely to pass the Senate, and see where the points of convergence are, and also to make a forecast about what the final bill is likely to contain.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, people probably don't know this, but in both bills, in one bill, and the other House is probably going to accept this idea, employers are going to have to add some information to the W-2, which is going to say the value of the health benefit that the employee is getting. It's not a tax.
Mm-hmm.
It's information reporting, and that's going to be a huge paperwork burden, and it's going to have to start almost right away.
And this is going to be irrespective of whether you're required to be or whatever or however you're not working with the government on the program. I mean, regardless of how you plug in to the system, and apparently, Joan, there will be multiple ways your company can participate in the health care of your employee. Regardless of all that, you're still going to have to comply.
Right. It's just whatever benefits you provide in the health area,
yeah,
they need to go on the W-2, and the idea is to show the employee what it is they're getting. It is going to be a huge paperwork burden, but on the other hand, I think it's true that employees really don't have a good idea of how much they're getting out of the employer and health care.
Well, there is one thing, Joan, and if you think I'm not a fair person, you'll know it now. There is one thing that could be a benefit from this, and it's what you just said. So many employees all they look at is their take-home pay.
Right.
And they don't realize that, and I've done this with my employees before. I've actually, sat down and shown them what their total compensation is for me. If they had to go somewhere else and do this, and if they had to do this on their own, this is what it would cost them.
And I think every employee should be shown that. If you had to go out in the open market and buy this insurance, this is what you would be spending.
Yep.
This is what the employer is giving you, and this is what you're not having to spend out of pocket every month. I think it would be a real eye-opener.
But it also should include paid holidays. For example, I'm paying you a day's wages and benefits to stay home, to not be productive for my company. That's a gift,
right?
That's this Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, and I think that's another example of that. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go through some other of these elements, some of these onerous elements. Remember, folks, small business owners spend double what big companies do per employee per year just to comply with regulations. It's going to go up with the new health care bill. Count on it. 20 after. Stay with us.
Yes, I lost all track of time. Started walking, couldn't stop, turning it over.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blessingame. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. You know the drill. We got lots of stuff there, thousands and thousands, literally thousands of pieces of information that you can read or you can listen to. And we got things you can read in 5 seconds. We got things you can listen to in 1 minute, read in 3 minutes, listen to in 15 minutes. We got lots of stuff there. On any topic under the sun, lots of different ways of consuming it and taking it with you. You can take some of it with you. We'll follow you home, including our newsletter, which we'll follow you home with if you want. We'll send it to you by email every Sunday afternoon. So subscribe to that when you get to there to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blessingame. You can follow me there if you want. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, we're talking about the outstanding reporting that Kiplinger did this week, and I sincerely thank you for this, folks. You need to go read the first page, if nothing else, the first page of the Kiplinger letter this week, to give you a thumbnail, a little bit of an idea about what is going to be involved in you and I complying with some of the things that are going to be in this new healthcare bill. And Joan, you just mentioned about how we're going to have to report on W-2s,
right?
What the value of these benefits are,
yes,
the healthcare benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But the next point that you make is even uglier. Look, read that. Tell us about that. The tax thing.
Help enroll workers in long-term care plans?
No. This task...
Well, that's the next item.
This task could trigger new taxes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Along with the W-2 item.
Yeah,
okay.
The W-2. This could trigger new taxes. Tell us about that.
Well, I don't know. I don't think the task could trigger new taxes. I don't know if that's really the case.
Well, not the task, but reporting of the information could trigger new taxes.
Well, the problem with that line is the tax on so-called Cadillac plans is going to come on insurers. So the information they're going to need to determine whether a plan is too rich is really going to be with the insurer.
But wait a minute, John.
Not at the W-2 level.
I'm confused. Isn't if they determine... See, let's back up and tell the audience what we mean by Cadillac plan and about taxing the Cadillac plans.
Well, what we mean is the government is proposing to tax, not the government, but politicians are proposing to tax the value of plans deemed to be too quote-unquote rich.
Yeah.
With too many benefits.
Part of the ways that they're going to...
But you'd have to tax it in the aggregate. You wouldn't get at it by each individual W-2. You would tax the overall plan.
I thought each individual would be taxed based on the benefits they receive beyond what the government says is a median.
No. I mean, maybe that's something that maybe could happen in the future.
That's what's been proposed.
It has.
Yeah, but it may not wind up being.
Well, the proposal I read would tax the insurer. That's why the insurers are upset.
Ah.
And then the insurer would pass the tax on to the employer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but either way, it could give rise to a new tax. So, folks, and of course, Joan, you and I have said this before. This is what the politicians are developing, what the regulators promulgate, what the bureaucrats promulgate from this law could be will be a lot different, won't it? Almost surely.
Different from what we have now, sure.
Yeah, it'll be different.
Yeah, it's supposed to be,
and maybe a lot worse. Doubtful that it'll be better, but let's move on and talk about.
Well, I don't know if it's doubtful that it'll be better. I mean, I don't know that you can say that yet.
Well, from a historical standpoint, Joan, I don't think anybody's ever seen a law promulgated that wound up being less expensive. If you just look at the track record, that's my.
Well,
opinion.
No, you weren't saying less expensive. You were saying better.
Better meaning, when I say better, I mean better for me. As a taxpayer, better for me. This Joan, you're slipping a little, Joan. This is all about me.
That's right.
This
I'm
is
sorry.
All about small
what
business.
Was I thinking?
This is all about. That's all we care about is small business.
No, not just small business. Just you personally.
Well, but I represent. If it's good for me, Joan, it's good for small business. See,
that's right.
You lost it there for a minute. You're,
well, I'll say.
I don't know what kind of context you're looking. I don't know what ball game you're watching, Joan. But
really?
No. No, my attitude is if it's good for me, it's good for my small business buddies.
Gotcha.
My peeps.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, so we got that sorted out. Now, so what about some of the other responsibilities that small business owners are going to have?
Well, another thing is, and this is kind of interesting, it's not a mandate, but there's going to be a new long-term care insurance program, a national program, and employers can opt out of it, but I think it's going to kind of go the way of 401ks and 403bs and other plans in that they'll be encouraged to start it. I mean, they won't have to spend any of their own money, but the idea would be to have a payroll deduction program so that employees would be paying into this fund, and then years later when they needed it, when they needed, say, a home health aide when they're older and want to stay in their home, they can tap into this national fund.
Right.
But the employer would be, doing all the paperwork and that's the problem there.
Right. That's pretty much into the weeds over there, though, isn't it?
And what do you mean in the week?
It's kind of a lot of detail, though. I mean, it's kind of very technical, right? I mean, is that going to hit the average company out there?
Well, if they make it a mandate, it will.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, and I'll tell you, folks, the thing is, and Joan, everybody listening knows that I'm an opponent of what they're doing right now, and the things that you're reporting on this week are examples, folks, of the kinds of things that I don't like. Even if the government doesn't become, if it doesn't become universal health care, even if the government, it isn't a single payer system, what Kiplinger reported this week is, in my opinion, is evidence of the government getting more involved in our business. And I don't like that. 29 after, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.